The first reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b to 14. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the gospel this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, beginning at verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. And Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, many of you were here for my birthday party on Friday night. It was good fun, a lovely time. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the cards and also for the gift. I wasn't expecting that at all. A little bit blown away. But thank you so much. That was just amazing. And it just reinforces to me why I feel so blessed to be part of this parish. I think you're fantastic. And I'm so pleased God brought me here. Now, if I were to take all those lovely cards and bring them here today and tear them up and throw them in the bin, what would you think? Would you feel it was a little bit over the top, maybe a bit rejected? Absolutely. Because they're worth something, aren't they? They're worth something. They're precious. They're given with love, so that makes them really precious. But if I spend all my life looking for birthday cards from people and trying to get rewards from them, then those rewards wouldn't be worth anything to the kingdom of God. See, when Paul talks about the things of the past being rubbish, the word that he uses actually means poo, dung. I treat them as dung. And what is he treating as dung? Well, he's treating all the things of which he was very proud and the things that he got all the rewards for in his past. Being a Pharisee. And he tells us, doesn't he, in his words to the Philippians, he tells us who he was. And if you read it, you realize that he was really very much a man who would have been seen as a man of God. He says, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, in being a good person, I've got more. I've got more reason to be confident than you. Because I, Paul, not me, was circumcised on the eighth day. Got to clarify that before you say it. A member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of Hebrews, as to the Jew, a Pharisee, as to the law, a Pharisee, sorry, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, which would have been seen as the right thing to do for people who were Jewish, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. All those Ten Commandments, tick, 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 all of the laws about eating this or not eating that and doing this and not doing that, all that stuff, absolutely blameless, absolutely sure he's done everything right. I'm magnificent. And every single one of those things that I spent all my life doing, I'm calling them dung. In comparison to knowing Jesus. He said it to the Romans, the law brings death, but the grace of God is life. Yeah. So he wants to help us to understand this. And Jesus is talking to Pharisees when he says this parable, right? He's talking to people like Paul as he was. He's talking to them, and he's talking to them about this. Exact thing. Parable of the tenants. Now, the tenants in the vineyard, these are people who rent the vineyard. What's a vineyard? It's a place where you grow vines, and the vines grow grapes, and the grapes are great for making wine and eating. Who likes grapes? You like grapes? Yeah, grapes. So, okay. So, and so the master who owns the vineyard really wants the fruit from that vineyard. And so the people who he rents the vineyard to, these people, they want to be people who actually get that for themselves because it's a really nice stuff to have, right? So rather than giving the grapes and all of the stuff that you get from the grapes to the master, they want to keep it for themselves. They've got to this place where that thing is more important than doing what they're supposed to do. Just the same place, just in a different way. And so Jesus says to them, if you are not going to follow me, if you're not going to follow God properly and listen to what he's doing, and you're going to make these things more important, he's basically saying to them, if you make that more important, if you make following the law and doing all those things and ticking the boxes more important, you will lose what you've got. And he tells them, and he reminds them of Psalm 118. That's where those words come from. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That was the Lord's doing. It's amazing in our eyes. When I went to Ridley College, we had our motto at Ridley is Christ. Jesus is the touchstone of our faith. It's the center. So what Paul says to people is, rather than sitting here living in that place where I want everything for me, I need to be able to live for God. And in living for God, I need to run towards the prize. And the prize is not being saved, because when you believe in Jesus, you're already saved. That's not the prize. The prize is being someone who is living for the Lord more and more and more and becoming the person that God wants you to be. Because when we come to Jesus and we believe in him, that's just the beginning. You know, people tend to treat that like the end. Good, I'm a person of faith. I'm going to do whatever I like. That's true, isn't it? People come to faith in Jesus, but do they turn up in church? Not necessarily, because we haven't actually helped them to understand there's so much more, and you get so much more if you follow through. It's like starting the race, and you get to the race, and the gun goes off, and you go, right, I got to do. Would you get a prize? Or even perhaps you start running the race and the gun goes off and you go, right, I'm off. And you get halfway through and you get halfway and oh, I'm too tired. See ya. You still wouldn't get a prize. You've got to run all the way to the end. We've got to live for him. And in living for him and in his grace, grace is that wonderful free gift of God that helps us to live with him and to know that we are forgiven and we can be forgiven every time that we do something wrong. Grace is a gift, not something you can earn. You can't do a whole lot of things to get it, but we're given it when we believe in Jesus and then we live in it as people of Jesus. And the race is learning how to live. So in order to get a prize, you need a prize. So I thought we might make some prizes this morning. So I have some gold and some silver and a very nice little special pen, which actually writes and it gives you a little purple edge on it. It's quite cool. And some medallions, but also because not everybody wants the gold and the silver, they actually like. Yeah, I've got some, these are heart-shaped beads. And you can thread them onto some thread and turn them into a wristband or a something else. So, and a few bells if you want some bells, depends on what you want to do. Anyway, so these are so you can make a prize to remind us that we're running for the prize. We're living our life for Jesus and he's our prize. But these help us to remember. And on my online, I've written, so I can be like Jesus, I keep going because Jesus loves me. So you can write whatever you like on there to help you to remember. But that's what I think we need, because sometimes we need reminding of this. So I had a wonderful friend, it was a good friend. And friend at church, really nice person. And he was someone who came into faith, was coming to church, was part of the church, was growing in Jesus, coming alongside. It was really good to see him growing. And then he got into a place where he was feeling a bit down. Something happened in his life and he was a bit down. And being a little bit down, the thought started to creep into his head that he wasn't necessarily good enough and that perhaps he wasn't really part of this. And slowly but surely, he started to just be a little less enthusiastic. And then one day somebody invited him to come and join their club. And at the club, he felt like he could just go and do that, and he enjoyed that. And so he started going to the club. And he kept doing that, and that was really good. But then the club wanted to be doing things on Sunday morning. And so he started going to the club on Sunday morning for one Sunday, and then after a little while it was two Sundays, and then after a little while it was three Sundays, and then he disappeared altogether. And you ring him up, and he wasn't home because he was off at the club. And he felt really good there. He belonged there. It was great there. But it was actually not about life. It was about him trying to satisfy his own need because he had come to a place where he didn't feel good enough. And it had sucked him away. Now, I wanted to say something to him, but I was his friend, not his pastor, and at the time I wasn't sure what to say because I really wasn't sure how you would tackle that. And I didn't want to say something and lose my friend. So, of course, I shut up, didn't I? Which I shouldn't have done, but there you go. Our pastor saw him disappearing and then eventually went to see him and sat down with him and said to him, "Where are you on Sundays? I'm missing you." And he said, "Oh, I've got this club and I'm really enjoying this and it's really, really great." And the pastor said to him, he told me this later, he said, the pastor just sat there and he said to me, "Oh, I'm really glad you're enjoying that. Has it become more important than Jesus? I think you've replaced him. I'll see you in church." And then left. Boom. You know, it was, it hit him right between the eyes. Now, I would never have had the courage to say that to him, especially at that stage. But what it did was make him suddenly realize what had happened. You see, good things, really good things, can take the place of Jesus in our lives. Really good things that make us feel good, that we enjoy, that are fantastic and in their place can be great. In the wrong place can take over and become something which actually draw us away from Jesus. And this was the problem for the Pharisees. It was a problem for the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. They were on a good thing. These leaders of the church, of the synagogues and the temple, they were on a good thing. Everywhere they went, they got honored. If you walked in the door and you were from the Sanhedrin, everybody stepped back. Hello, yeah. Acknowledge you, bow. You could come in. If you came to a feast, they'd lead you all the way to the head of the table. You got to eat first. They'd ask you to proclaim the blessing because you were the very special God person. Builds the ego up. It's pretty good, you know. You turn up and everybody thinks you're amazing God person. And then they met Jesus, and he was God, but they didn't necessarily know that. They did know that he was from God, and they did know that he was challenging them. And they had spent a lot of time serving God and wanting to serve God, and they were following the law and doing the good thing. But it had become something which had replaced God. They were following the law, not the one who made the law. And we can do that. We can do the church, but not follow the one who made the church. We can do the good thing and do all the right things, all of the lovely, good Christian things, but not serve the one who called us to do them, but do them because it serves us. I really feel good when I do that. And I do feel good when I do that, and I should feel good when I do that because it's a good thing to do, right? But if that good thing takes the place of knowing that when I do that, I am serving the living God, and I feel the sense of his presence and his power in what I'm doing, and just maybe the good thing has become what God should be in my life. That's why Paul was ready to say, treat it like rubbish. Not because it's not good, but because he knew that as a Pharisee, he had served the law, not the Lord who made the law. He had not had his ears open and his eyes open to see the Son of the living God there right there in front of him. These people missed it. They didn't miss it because they were not looking for it. They missed it because their eyes were looking for it in the wrong place, because they had made other things God rather than listening to the Lord God Almighty. They had lost that place. They were so busy enjoying their power and their authority. And then along comes Jesus, and he's an automatic threat because people are calling him the Son of David. He's an automatic threat to their power because the people are following him. He's an automatic threat to their power because he is challenging their way of doing things and their law with the law stuff, which was so strict that it kept people from being able to live it. It was so hard to live it. And he challenged all of that. And within themselves, there is a recognition that this is actually powerful. But instead of saying, well, maybe that's God, they were so busy following the law, they were not hearing God right in front of them. Son of the living God standing in front of them, telling them, hey, guys, wake up. And they're going, la, 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 I'm following the law and you're not allowed here because you're going to take my power from me. We don't realize what we're doing sometimes when we're following a good thing. And we all talk about bad things. I had one of those wonderful moments when I was home through the week because I was doing, I was on retreat, as you know, and my idea was that I would go out each day and I would pray in different places and I'd catch up with a couple of friends to have a bit of a relax as well. But I was too sick, wasn't I? So I was either in bed or on the couch. And on the couch, just getting my Homer Simpson groove organized. And I was praying, and I did pray, and it was wonderful to have that prayer time. But when I was not praying and I wasn't asleep, I had my phone. You know the phone? YouTube's magnificent. YouTube's as addictive as anything. There I was, and I pick up the phone. And I often do my prayer points on my phone, and I write on my phone so that I've got the notes. The only problem with that was I'd pick up the phone to write down things, and instead of writing them down, what did I do? Oh, look, YouTube. Three hours later, oh, I was writing that thing down. And I was watching, would you believe it, a pimple popper video. I'm just going to put it out there, folks. We all have our flaws. I was watching one of those and God started to speak to me. Through that video, he was pointing something out and he spoke to me. The only problem was I needed to stop and listen, and I watched the end of the video. I did not stop. So I turned the phone off. Because I realized what had just happened. The good thing had become a God thing. And that's not God. I knew God was speaking to me and I needed to put it down, so I did. And the word that he gave me, I then went back to him and repented, and he gave me that word again, using the pimple popper thing about him removing particular goobiness from things. But it was a good God word. But I had to have myself tuned to him. I didn't. Sorry, I like gooey things. I apologize for that. But I, you know, 23 years of nursing, there are gooey things in nursing and I quite enjoy them. Anyway, my sister used to say to me, why do you like that? And I go, oh, it's fun. You know. The too much information, they say. The thing is, that's what happens. If you get sucked into the vortex of something which is really, you really enjoy and you really get a lot of fun out of, it has to also then be held up against the surpassing joy of knowing Jesus, the amazing righteousness of God that we have been given as the people of God, the things that set us free. set us free because Jesus is our cornerstone. Because he is the center. Because he is the one that we are looking to for the things that are life and health to us. And everything else needs to serve that. The wrong way around, we have the wrong master. And the wrong way around, our ears and our eyes can slowly shut to the voice of the Spirit in our lives. And sometimes that really good thing slowly but surely takes us away. And we don't realize. And we might never realize because we don't want to, because it's a really good thing. And so we do Christian, but we don't live Christian. And I think this is one of the things that sometimes takes the power out of the church. Because for all the fact that we are not called a religion, it ain't about religion. It's about the cornerstone, about Jesus, about the life of Jesus in us. It's about the Holy Spirit who flows through. It's about the power of God that has set us free. It's about the fact that you and I have a place in the heavenlies right now where spiritually we are seated with him. It's about the fact that there is in him all that we need, not only for salvation, but for the rest of our lives and everything that is important, even when things go south. Right now, there is war in Israel. Did you know that? Overnight, last night, Gaza had tooled up and they didn't, undercover, they've been resourced by Iran, according to the what's been said, and they've invaded Israel. And the Israeli Prime Minister's come up and said he's at war. And you know what? There's a whole lot of injustice and stuff with the whole Israel-Palestine thing, absolutely. There's a whole lot of stuff there that happened which was not done well, and there are a whole lot of things there which are important to correct. But if you've spent your time getting caught up in the bitterness and the hatred, you will not see when you go to war that that's not a good thing. It's how we get there. And this is God's land. The original. Although this isn't God's land too. Whole earth is God's. It's sad. It's really sad. But it's really important for us to pray into that and into every one of those places where a bad thing has become a good thing because it's become the focus. And that's the other thing that happens, isn't it? So for Paul, the Apostle Paul became someone who, for him, the good thing was the law and the good thing was following the law and the good thing was being a very good Jew. And so he got to a point where he did a bad thing and started persecuting the church and killing Christians in the name of God, because the bad thing became good to him because he was not actually following the Lord. He thought he was. Very easy. And that's why it's so important for us to always keep it before us. If it is a good thing, it may well be a very good thing. There is nothing wrong with a lot of the good things in our lives. There was nothing wrong with the law in a lot of things because we needed boundaries. The people needed the boundaries until the Savior came. They needed the boundaries. They needed to know how to serve God. There's nothing wrong with the law as long as the law doesn't become God. But it can't give life. Only Jesus can do that. And so once we get to that point, we've got to say, well, where am I and what am I doing right now? And for each one of us, that may speak to something for you today. It may not. You may know that you're actually walking really well with this and you're really happy. Great. Say, good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I feel I've got the focus right. Thank you, Lord. Help me to keep it that way. Show me when this creeps in. Help me to see it when it happens. Because we don't always until it's taking over. Not getting stuck in a YouTube video. We can get so absorbed. There's absolutely nothing wrong with watching television, going to movies, sitting in a movie. When I watch a movie, I'm like that. I get absorbed in the screen. I get absorbed in the story. I do that when I read a book. When I pick up a good book, I tend to read cover to cover. I just don't put it down. And then I wonder where the day went or the 2 days or whatever it is. And, you know, I'm just like that. And that's how, you know, when my attention's taken by it, I can go all the way there. And so, and I know that about myself. And anybody who's ever lived in my house knows that about me, because I've got to come up and go poke, poke. Would you like a cup of coffee? And I'm watching a movie, you see. Tunnel vision. I want my tunnel vision to be Jesus. I want to be so absorbed in him and so caught up in him and so filled with the Holy Spirit that he is in the center of everything I do. I want to be so interruptible, even when I'm in the middle of watching a movie or a YouTube clip, that I will never, ever again watch the end before I sit down, shut that down and say, you're talking to me. What do you want to say, Lord? I'm listening. I want to be so alive in Christ that none of these things can ever steal from me, even if they're good things. And I want to live that life in such a way that it means that what Jesus wants to do through me, I'm not in the way of. And anything that's going to get in the way, I want to treat as rubbish so that I can follow him. That's how we run. And the prize is better than any video, any book, any movie. It's better than birthday parties, better than presents. It's better than anything. It is Jesus himself. And the day that I see him face to face, I want him to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want to look after that vineyard for him. And we are called to that. Notice what Paul says. He doesn't just say he runs the race for Jesus. He says, the words say what he says. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Prize is living for him, being who God made us to be completely. And when we are there and we're living in that space, which none of us do perfectly, it's all good, we're human, but God knows that he made us to be more than that. Right. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for interrupting me. Thank you for interrupting all of us. Thank you for being there and bringing us to you. Thank you for every person who is in this room, because you are their God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to have our hearts and minds set on you. Be our cornerstone, Lord. Be the touchstone of our faith. Help us, Lord, when good things call to us, but they're not God things. Or even when they're God things, but they're not what you want us to concentrate on, because we've lost you in them, Lord. Bring us back. Help us to see through your eyes the world that we live in. Help us to be people who indeed will work your vineyard as your tenants here in such a way that the fruit will be plenty and we will always be ready to give it up to you. Shine as a light in our hearts, Father, that we might shine as a light in the world. In Jesus' name.